Ready, y'all?
All right, I'm going to call this meeting of the Board of Directors to order. Let's stand for Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, roll call of the Board of Directors.
Director Trevino.
Present.
Director Chavez.
Present.
Director Santana.
Present.
Vice President Phillips.
Present.
President Garcia.
Present.
Thank you. And then let's move to the adoption of the agenda.
If you move in seconded.
We're going to do roll call vote, Madam President, on every item tonight. Please. Thank you.
Yes, so roll call vote.
Director Trevino.
Yes.
Director Chavez.
Aye.
Director Santana?
Yes.
Vice President Phillips?
Yes.
President Garcia?
Yes. All right, so.
So question. So why do we have to do a roll call vote?
Just for the ease of, don't worry, you're
the ease of. The answer is that several items in the public hearing require a roll call vote.
Right.
So staff requested that we do a roll call vote on all the items to keep everybody clear.
Because we want to hear your voice more often.
Yeah, well, you lost
yours. I know, right? All right, let's move on to public comment. Jessica, is there any public comment?
Yes, we have one written public comment, which Cindy will speak now onto the record. We will set a 3-minute timer for this.
Okay.
From Mary Urquhart, subject public comment. To the members of the Upper San Gabriel Valley Water District Board, I had hoped to make my comments in person. First, thank you for your extraordinary efforts to keep our water supply flowing at the lowest cost possible. My comments are in reference to the proposed data centers in the Upper San Gabriel Valley. We have already seen the results of the vote to ban a data center in Monterey Park. California's housing element and SB 79 mandate that your district provide a significant increase in housing in the near and distant future. This housing mandate requires a significant increase in water. Do we have enough water for this and for the data centers? We have no control over the increase in housing, but we still have the ability to limit the data centers. In addition, do we know where the effluent will go? Will this affect our water table? There are so many unanswered questions that the answer is simple. Please do everything in your power to say no to these data centers in the Upper San Gabriel Valley. I deeply appreciate your commitment, thoughtfulness, and energy dedicated to your position. Sincerely, Mary Urquhart, South Pasadena resident.
Thank you, Cindy. If anybody else wishes to speak, you may do so now at the podium.
All right, thank you. Let's move on to committee reports. They're available for you in the packet. Is there any comments or additions to that? Okay, thank you. Let's move on to consent calendar.
Move consent calendar.
Second.
Thank you. It's been moved in second and row. Roll call vote, please.
Director Trevino.
Aye.
Director Chavez.
Aye.
Director Santana.
Aye.
Vice President Phillips.
Aye.
President Garcia.
Aye. Okay, motion passes. So let's move on. Get my script here. At this time, I will open the public hearing regarding the proposed reauthorization of upper water standby charge for fiscal year 2026-2027. Tom?
The standby charge produces revenue to fund the district's recycled water program, as well as our conservation program, which includes our education and outreach. It generates about $2 million annually. The standby charge is a $10 assessment per parcel or per acre for parcels larger than 1 acre. It has been in place since the 1990s, but in order to continue the standby charge, the board does need to adopt the engineering report and standby charge every year. The adoption deadline is August, so we always like to get that done in advance. And at this point, the board has any questions, be happy to answer.
Move approval of staff recommendation.
We need to finish public comment.
Yeah, public comment.
So that was presentation.
Yeah.
And the other thing for the record is this, the notice of this public hearing was published on May 27th and May 3rd in three publications and in three languages.
June 3rd.
June 3rd, thank you.
All right, at this time, we will accept comments on this item. Jessica, do we have any public comments?
We haven't received any speaker cards for this item. If anybody wishes to speak now, you may do so at the podium.
Okay. At this time, I'll bring it back to the board for discussion. Any question or comments from the board? Okay. Seeing none, I will now close the public hearing and entertain a motion on item 8E for ordinance 26-1, imposing standby charges for fiscal year 2026.
Mm-hmm. Second.
All right. Roll call vote, please.
Yes, Director Trevino.
Aye.
Director Chavez.
Aye.
Director Santana.
Aye.
Vice President Philo.
Aye.
President Garcia.
Aye. All right. Motion passes. All right. Let's move on to, at this time, I will open the public hearing regarding Upper Waters 2025 Urban Water Management Plan and Water Shortage Contingency Plan. Tom?
So this item was reviewed with the Water Resources Facility Management Committee last Monday, presented by Stan Chen from Stetson Engineers. Stetson has prepared Upper's Urban Water Management Plan since they were originally required in the 1990s. The Urban Water Management Plan must be submitted to the state every 5 years. So for the year 2025, the submission deadline is June 30th. The Urban Water Management Plan reviews projected demands, supplies, also updates our water supply allocation plan and demand management. So it essentially sets the framework for under certain conditions, here's the action we will take to make sure that we have sustainable and reliable water supplies. And so with that, if the board would like the presentation again, or we can move to the next part of the public hearing, public comment.
Yeah, I think we should do the presentation again.
Okay, all right. So, Stan.
Do we have a presentation on the screen, or?
Yeah, they're bringing it up.
Okay. Good evening, Madam President, board members. My name is Stan Chen. I'm with Stetson Engineers. We prepared the Upper Waters 2025 Urban Water Management Plan. It also includes the Water Shortage Contingency as a chapter of the Urban Water Management Plan. Upper Water is a wholesale water supplier and is required to prepare the Urban Water Management Plan in accordance with the Urban Water Management Planning Act. And urban water supplier is either a supplier that provides more than 3,000 acre feet per year or water to more than 3,000 customers. And Upper Water meets the 3,000 acre foot requirement. And the Urban Water Management Plan is periodically updated every 5 years. It's a requirement mandated by the Act, Urban Water Management Planning Act, which aims to address evolving water supply and demand conditions. As Tom mentioned, it's due by the end of this month, June 30th, 2026. The Urban Water Management Plan is a source for cities and counties for their general plans. It's a component of the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan, and it's a plan that's approved. Once approved, it's required by the Department of Water Resources for any state grants or loans. It's a long-term planning document for water supply, and it evaluates urban water suppliers' existing water conservation efforts and alternative and supplemental water conservation measures. Next slide. The plan includes, is based off of the Department of Water Resources guidebook. Every urban water management planning cycle. The Department of Water Resources prepares a guidebook and Upper Waters 2025 Urban Water Management Plan follows the guidance and the chapters that are part of that guidebook. And those chapters are listed on this slide. Upper Waters water demands include sales to other agencies, including non-potable for replenishment purposes, for potable water purposes through the treated water interconnections, and also non-potable water supplies for recycled water use. During the year 2025, approximate total sales for Upper Water was about 35,000 acre feet. Next slide. The projected water use is provided on this slide, and it is based off of information provided by Metropolitan. The numbers are the same, but they represent an average amount that's projected for the future. These amounts could fluctuate on a year-to-year basis based on the available supplies from the State Water Project and also available funding. But the projected amount is about 47,000. The untreated amount for replenishment purposes is about 40,000, but that number by the year 2035 is expected to be reduced upon the introduction of the Pure Water Southern California project in 2035. If that project is online, then there's a estimated a partial benefit to that, and then an ongoing further benefit in the later years. And so that will offset the imported water supplies for replenishment purposes. All right, next slide. That second bullet, upper water supplies are reliable in meeting projected normal, single, and five consecutive demands during normal, single, and five consecutive dry year periods in five-year increments through the year 2050. However, in cases where there's water supply conditions or water supply shortage conditions, Upper Water can implement the measures from the Water Shortage Contingency Plan, and the Water Shortage Contingency Plan is also based off of information from Metropolitan's Water Shortage Contingency Plan, and Metropolitan has a water allocation plan to preserve storage reservoirs for future years, including using full supply capacity. They also have, I think on the next slide, the water surplus and drought management plan, which identifies six water shortage stages. And those six water shortage stages are consistent with the required shortage stages pursuant to the Department of Water Resources for urban water management planning. And as noted on the top bullet point, the urban water Upper Waters water shortage contingency will be required to be adopted, and it is part of Chapter 8 of Upper Waters Urban Water Management Plan. And Metropolitan's water supply allocation includes a level six water shortage, or is implemented during a level six water shortage, and it is designed to reduce wholesale demands by up to 50% or more of the calculated base demands, and is also consistent with the Department of Water Resources requirements. Next slide. The preparation of the Urban Water Management Plan was coordinated with cities and counties and Upper Waters retail member agencies. An initial update was provided February 2nd, 2026, and also a follow-up, as Tom mentioned, about a week and a half ago on June 1st at the Water Resources and Facility Management Committee. And during those meetings, Upper Water discussed the new requirements and the results of the tables in the plan. All of the required public notifications were submitted, 60-day notifications. That's at least 60 days prior to the public hearing. Upper Water provided notification to the public that and agencies that the plan was being prepared. Upper Waters 2025 Urban Water Management Plan is currently the draft is currently available on the website, and the public notifications were submitted, including the two weeks of newspaper publications. Next slide. So the next step is to adopt the Urban Water Management Plan and the Water Shortage Contingency Plan, and once adopted, the plan can be finalized, and also the information will be submitted online through the Department of Water Resources WUI data on their website, and then once that information is submitted, then the plan is essentially completed. That concludes the presentation. We'll be happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions from the board? Go ahead.
Thank you. I did have a question. Can we go back to page 8, please? And, 7? 6? Shucks. I don't. I saw on here, and I'm not sure if you're going to know the answer to this question, but I wanted to ask because I spoke with somebody this week who lives in Pasadena, and ended up talking about water, and they mentioned that they were told that they live in an area where we can survive 5 years of drought. And I know that was in your presentation. Do you know how does the city of Pasadena also have to produce one of these urban water management plans, and is that in good shape, do you know, as are we in the San Gabriel Valley?
I have not. City of Pasadena is required to prepare an urban water management plan. Anybody, the 3,000, that's like the 3,000 threshold, acre feet or 3,000 customers. I have not read their plan. They produce water supplies from the Raymond Basin, and also they purchase imported water from Met. So I would the previous urban water management plans that they've prepared have indicated that they're able to meet their projected water demands, but I have not reviewed their 2025
right.
draft.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you.
Met says it has enough water for the next 5 years. That's where it comes from.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anyone else? Is that a hand?
Oh, no.
All right. Thank you. At this time, we will accept comments on this item, the Urban Water Management Plan. Jessica, do we have any public comments?
Yes, we have three. I will call the first person, Rosemary Garrett-Gordia.
Vidia.
Sorry. You may step up to the podium in 3 minutes.
This is for public, general public comment, correct?
So this is
on this item only.
Yeah.
On this item only. Okay, she said she was going to ask to see if we can speak, because we're a little bit late. If we could speak on public comment. My comment is not related to this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or do you want to take...
You came all the way over here. I'm happy to...
Thank you. Okay, good evening, board members. My name is Rosemary Gavidia. I am a Monrovia resident and a founding member of community nonprofit organization Grow Monrovia. I'm here tonight because I'm concerned about Upper Water District's use of rodenticides at a site where wildlife is an everyday presence. Your facility is uniquely situated near the foothills, surrounded by mature pine trees, and connected to the wildlife corridor that extends into the San Gabriel Mountains. This is exactly the type of location where the impacts of rodenticides extend far beyond the target animal. The facility is surrounded by habitat used by coyotes, hawks and owls, including nesting birds of prey in the adjacent pines and open space behind the property. When a rat consumes poison, it does not simply disappear. It becomes prey. Hawks, owl, coyotes, fox, bobcats, and even mountain lions can ingest these toxins when they consume poison rats. The result is a ripple effect through the food chain that can impact an entire ecosystem. Many of us have witnessed coyotes suffering from severe mange in our neighborhoods. Research has linked anticoagulant rodenticides to increased susceptibility to mange because the poisons weaken the animals and compromise their immune systems. During cold winter months, these animals often suffer tremendously as they lose their fur and their ability to regulate body temperature. The impacts do not stop there. Studies of Southern California mountain lions have repeatedly found exposure to multiple rodenticides. In fact, virtually every mountain lion tested in Los Angeles region has been found to have rodenticide compounds in the system. These toxins are now widespread that they are affecting wildlife at the very top of the food chain. What concerns me the most is that Upper Water District is an organization that many residents look as a leader in environmental stewardship. You host workshops on sustainable landscaping, water conservation, and responsible land management. You educate the public on practices that protect our environment. Because of that leadership role, your actions matter. There are effective alternatives available. Your offices are located on the second floor of the building, reducing concerns that may exist for ground level facilities. Integrated pest management practices such as snap traps in tamper resistant stations, exclusion and rodent proofing measures, habitat management, and encouraging natural predation can all significantly reduce rodent populations. Before speaking tonight, we brought these concerns directly to Upper Water District leadership and offered to help identify wildlife-safe alternatives. We were told that Upper Water District reserves the right to exercise its choice of pest control methods on its property.
All right, next public comment.
Okay, we have Sam Burgess.
I am the same way.
For the record, in the minutes, we'll reflect that these comments were not on the item that is being discussed.
Thank you for allowing me to speak. I have an excuse. Google took me to 248 West, so I had to walk all the way over here, and I was late for that. In any case, I'm here to talk about data centers and make a request. I'm not going to talk about water usage. You all know about water usage in data centers. I think you all know that Monterey Park just voted 86% against the data center. What my suggestion is, my request, is that this board hold a public meeting, not individuals going to your different constituencies, but a public meeting on how much water is needed for a data center. I'm not asking you to take a position. You don't need to take a position, but the public is very confused on what they hear, on how much water is being used, and what the data center people say, well, we're going to reintroduce water back into the ground. I really believe it's in the best interest of everybody in the San Gabriel Valley and of this water board if you had a public meeting with the press on just this issue, how much water is needed for your average data center in the San Gabriel Valley, and how will that affect your water use in the future. That is my comment. Thank you very much.
They usually don't comment, but...
Let's wait to finish this.
It's about this.
Well, can we wait until... Thank you. Next.
And our last comment card is from Karen Vance.
Hi, everybody. Okay. My name is KB Vance. I live in North Doherty, Fish Canyon. I'm going to go really fast. Try not to be rude. I'm about 3 miles east of here as a crow flies, adjacent to the San Gabriel River. I live right next to the river, about 3 houses away. For over 20 years, I've worked in partnership with law enforcement, elected officials, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers as well, working in partnership with them, and residents from Doherty, Azusa, Monrovia, and Irwindale as a community organizer and activist for campaigns such as banning the use of all the fireworks, personal fireworks in Doherty. We worked on the mine issue years ago and the toxic fire waste sorting operation recently at the San Gabriel River and living with wildlife issues. I co-chair an advocacy group also regarding trash and syringes and open bags of human waste tossed into the river right at the riverbed. And working with Army Corps of Engineers and local authorities to try to resolve that matter of the flood control channel and the fragile wildlife habitat. I'm sure you all are very aware of the fires over there. We support both public safety and merciful treatment of our precious local wildlife, all closely connected. I know I speak for thousands of local residents who strongly believe that besides our watershed, our local wildlife is our greatest natural resource. The wild animals with whom we share our own habitat are what makes living in this urban wildlife interface especially magical. Therefore, I'm here to remind you of an unresolved matter regarding the district's use of rat poisoning. Rat poison, rodenticide on your grounds right here, right now. It's still here. So you're in the foothills adjacent, similar to what Rosemary said, adjacent to the sensitive wildlife habitat. And we're in the beautiful wildlife corridor, and yet deadly rodenticide boxes are on your property as I speak right now. I know that you're environmentalists on some level and that you have some concerns with this, and we're here to elevate that and to get the message to you that you can do better on this, and it's not that difficult. What we'd like to do is follow this up with an email to you with some of the information that Rosemary has about alternative solutions, if you're willing to get that, so you can really take a good look at what other alternatives we have to offer besides getting rodenticide into the food chain. Any day of the week, you can see overhead hawks flying, owls at night. I'm sure you hear them if you live around here. One healthy raptor can kill and ingest 1,000 rodents, rats, mice, whatever. But it's affecting bobcats, coyotes, because they're eating contaminated rodents. And it gets in the food chain. She mentioned the mange. I'm going to go ahead and summarize this because it's too long. But we're just here to try to find out, why is the district still using these archaic black boxes with poison? Because it's getting in the food chain. You've seen it in the mange coyotes, bobcats, and the famous P-22 mountain lion. When he died, he was also extremely disoriented.
Thank you.
Remember P-22.
Any more public comments?
That was my last public comment card, but if anybody wishes to speak, they may do so now.
On the item that's before
the
board.
Yes, on the item that's before the board. Seeing none. At this time, I'll bring it back to the board for discussion on this item. Any questions or comments from the board? All right. So, seeing none. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna. But that's not about this item. So I promise I will give Tony his opportunity because I have things I also want to say, but I will wait for that. No, absolutely. I understand. So I will now close the public hearing and entertain a motion on item 9E, adoption of the resolution 610678, approving the 2025 Urban Water Management Plan. Roll call vote, please.
Director Trevino?
I moved that.
I'll second.
I'm sorry.
Moved and second.
Okay. Director
now Trevino. Roll call vote. Thank you.
Director Chavez?
Aye.
Director Santana?
Aye.
Vice President Phillips?
Aye.
President Garcia?
Aye. All right, moving on to item 9F, adoption of resolution 610679, approving the 2025 water shortage contingency plan. Do I have a motion?
Moved. Second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Chavez?
Aye.
Director Santana?
Aye.
Vice President Phillips?
Aye.
President Garcia?
Aye. Okay, motion passes. Thank you. And then, do I have to close it? No, I already did close it. All right, let's move on. On to item 10, action discussion items. Item 10A, consider the adoption of the fiscal year 2026-2027 and 2027-2028 biennial budget.
This item was reviewed, presentation to the Finance Committee, Finance and Admin Committee, a week ago Tuesday. There were questions from the committee that were addressed by staff. In addition, the budget presentation was provided to the upper water producers this morning. Again, some questions were asked, and those questions were addressed. At this point, the staff are prepared to provide that presentation again that was provided to committee at the board's request. If not, I do want to point out a couple of other things in this series of action items related to the budget. So one is the adoption of the budget for the next two fiscal years. The second is adopting an ordinance approving the water rates and charges. And the recommendation from staff is the upper water surcharge remains at $103 an acre foot. And third is a resolution approving the cost of living adjustment and establishing pay structures for employees. I do want to note that you were provided today. There is a revised resolution on the pay ranges for staff. We have recently made some adjustments to the Executive Assistant Secretary of the Board 1 and 2 based on updated salary survey information, and those were incorporated into the revised resolution provided to you today. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions or provide a presentation.
Approval of staff recommendation.
Hold that, sorry, thank you. I was gonna ask if there are any questions or comments, but I appreciate your promptness. Okay, so you moved, Tony second, no more comments. Roll call vote, please.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Chavez?
Aye.
Director Santana?
Aye.
Vice President Phillips?
Aye.
President Garcia?
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. Moving on to item 10B, consider the adoption of Ordinance 26-2, approving the water rates and charges for calendar year 2027.
My previous discussion covers that item as well. So again, if there's any questions from the board.
Okay, Charles.
Any questions?
Move approval.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote.
Director Trevino.
Aye.
Director Chavez.
Aye.
Director Santana.
Aye.
Vice President Phillips.
Aye.
President Garcia.
Aye. Thank you. And that would be right. Correct. Yes, motion passes. Thank you. And let's move on to item 10C. Consider the adoption of Resolution 610-680, approving a cost of living adjustment and establishing pay structures for employees.
Nothing further to add.
Okay, any questions? Comments?
Might be a record.
Go ahead. Director Santana.
So you mentioned that there was one change on the job classification ranges provided today in the packet. Is it S1 that was?
So it's S1 and S3. So the position of Executive Assistant Secretary of the Board 1 and Executive Assistant Secretary of the Board 2, those have been adjusted based on some recent salary survey information. We're in the process of preparing to recruit for that position, so we felt it was appropriate we do that compensation review. And we finally got the results within the last day or so we wanted to make sure that we incorporated it into this resolution.
Okay, and I'm assuming this went up, right?
Pardon?
The amounts went up?
No. They did not. They actually went down.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Final question.
Awesome. Thank you. Okay. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
So on the hourly employees, on the classifications H3 and H6, it says no current positions. Is that in case we expand our workforce?
No, not directly. The reason is when we set up these classification scales, you want to have discrete steps that are approximately the same percentage between one and the other. The fact that we have no employees in that doesn't mean we shouldn't have a pay scale structure that has those incremental steps, appropriate incremental steps. Pay scale, the board is not approving those positions that are vacant. The board has approved 10 full-time positions with the district, and so we cannot add any new full-time positions without board approval. So adoption of this does not approve the general manager hiring additional staff.
Okay, so it's just a filler?
Yeah, we may as people, it's also a promotional opportunity. If we have an employee, at let's say it's H. I'll choose H2 and then give them more responsibility and move them up into a higher level position. It's a promotional opportunity, or if down the road the board approves hiring of additional staff, if they fit in those, then we will add actual position titles to those pay scales.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any more questions or comments? All right. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Roll call vote, please.
Director Trevino?
Aye.
Director Chavez?
Aye.
Director Santana?
Aye.
Vice President Phillips?
Aye.
President Garcia?
Aye. All right, motion passes. Okay, and then let's move on to action item 10D. Consider the adoption of Resolution 610-681, permitting the Los Angeles County Registrar Recorder, County Clerk, to render election services for an election of Upper San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District to be held on November 3rd, 2026.
Patty, you want to cover this one?
Yes, thank you, directors. What you have before you is a resolution establishing the two elections that we will have in November. This is strictly procedural. We have to pass a resolution at the board level, which will then go to the County Board of Supervisors that will authorize the election, and therefore they will carry the actual vote and tally of our two elections in November. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
Any questions?
Right.
Comments?
Tom and I were out the other day, the evening, and with that. Some other water board people, and we talked about the elections coming up. Guess how much it costs for per seat in upper district?
$333,000.
How much?
I'm guessing $333,000.
You're very smart.
I know. Yeah.
But in 3 years, we're going to have four years.
$1 million.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. We used to think $30,000 was horrendous, but $300 a seat is.
So, directors, if you can manage to run unopposed, you save the district $660,000.
We'll try.
I'm trying.
All right. Any more questions or comments?
A question.
Go ahead.
What would happen if we were not to pass this resolution?
It has been stressing me out the entire
time. You have an election.
It's procedural, so we would have to. I don't know what would happen, but my guess is...
I think the district would end up taking on the responsibility of handling and holding an election.
Oh, my God.
Because the election is mandated by law.
Okay.
The county is a place where consolidation of elections, and this way one entity runs all the elections and charges for them. More than likely, the costs the district would incur to run an election would probably exceed what the county is charging.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Okay. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Any more? Okay. Is there a motion?
No move.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Can I get a roll call vote, please?
Director Trevino.
Aye.
Director Chavez.
Aye.
Director Santana.
Aye.
Vice President Phillips.
Aye.
President Garcia.
Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. All right. Let's move on to item 11, information items. There's a collection of press releases and news articles in your packets. Item 12, attorney's reports.
Thank you, Madam President, board members. Very briefly, the last month has been a lot of the routine work, as well as working on several contractual issues with staff pertaining to the new JPA agreement, as well as some of the existing agreements which we're trying to extinguish. I would also like to take the opportunity to introduce to you Ariel Amador, who's in the audience. She is a summer law clerk for our firm. She has, we've been fortunate to have her join us. She is a third year law student at USC, and she has a deep interest in water, so I thought that she would benefit from joining us, so just wanted you to introduce her to you, and thank her for being here.
She's got to be good.
Thank you.
She went to USC.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you're only the best. Yeah. Only the best, our children.
Next item.
Thank you. Thank you, Martin. Item 13, engineer's report.
Engineer's report, I guess it's in your packet, right?
Yeah.
So Stetson's been working on Upper Water's Integrated Resources Plan update. We prepared, finally have the final draft now done and completed, and it's on Upper Water's website. And I believe it's going to go on to the June 24th board meeting for adoption. And then that's adopted, we'll provide a final report and put that into the website too. And then we just finished the Urban Water Management Plan. And what Dan said is that we'll submit that through the DWR's online submittal. And then we'll also have the final Urban Water Management Plan available for the website too. And the last thing that Stetson's working on is every year Met asks Upper Water for five-year demand forecasts for all their connections. So it includes untreated connections and treated water connections. Stetson coordinates with all the producers that have the connections and asks what their five-year demand is, and then we put all that information together and send it out to Met. And that one's due June 30th. And that's all I have.
Thank you. General Manager report, item 14.
Yeah, not a lot today. But just as Jenny mentioned, for the June 24th board meeting, we will present the final draft IRP for the board's consideration of adoption. In addition, there will be a presentation on the Alhambra Exchange Agreement. The board discussed this earlier this year and asked that we have a workshop on that. So we have requested, and Kelly, Jenny, and myself will tag team that presentation. So we're putting that together. It should be very interesting. I mentioned this at the producer meeting this morning, and there was a great deal of interest from the producers. They may actually come and attend the meeting, so we better do a good job of explaining the history, the background, and the logistics of that important agreement for our water management here in the basin. Lastly, I'm going to ask Patty to give you an update on the Senate Water Parks and Wildlife Committee hearing yesterday.
Thank you, Tom. Real briefly, so on Tuesday, Tom, myself, Jose Reynoso from San Gabriel Valley Municipal Water District, Kelly and Linda Noriega all flew up in force to be part of the Senate Natural Resources and Water Committee for our AB 1894 hearing. It went really well. We knew that the opposition was going to be there, and that was from the Valley Ag Water Coalition. Tom's and Jose's comments were spot on addressing those concerns from the opposition, which then I think eased a lot of the questions that the Senate committee members had. So it passed unanimously out of Senate, which is great because our record so far is passing out of all committees unanimously, and also having pretty much the majority of support coming out of the assembly. I think we were only short like 4 non-votes. So it's on a good trajectory. I'm very, very pleased with the outcome, and we'll keep going forward. The next hearing will be Senate Appropriations, and then after that, it will go to the 4 votes and then to the governor's office. So, more to come. And Tom did a great job in his testimony as well.
Okay, I approve your raise.
And that's on record now. So. All right. Anything else? All right, thank you. Item 15, Met reports. Tony.
Thank you, Madam Chair. MWD met this Monday and Tuesday, and since the budget is completed, MWD directors turned their attention to the following: the annual review of the GM, attorney, financial officer, and ethics officer for Camp for Water, the naming of facilities, Colorado River, and who might be the next chair of MWD. As far as the annual reviews go, it's an arduous process, but it's very well done by the directors. All of them fill out something on each of these department heads. And then there's also questionnaires for some of the staff people that work under these people. And they arrived at salaries for each of them. The GM will make $495,040. Attorney Marcia Scully probably received stellar comments of anyone this year. We'll get $426,627.20. The financial officer, Mr. Suzuki, will receive $346,569. And the ethics officer will receive $335,961.68. As for Camp for Water, there are some directors who'd like to see the end of this committee. However, it does play a central role, according to the GM, Dishboot, as the primary adaptive framework for long-term planning, and he wants this committee, which I'm on, to stay. And I've been disturbed with the committee, or MWD, when it comes to it, because, and you could correct me, this was a committee formed, when?
Three and a half years ago. That it was, this process started on Valentine's Day three years ago.
It included GMs. It was a great committee because the GMs, you know, I'm not an engineer, I'm a policymaker, and people like this give us great wisdom and to make decisions. And for me, this was supposed to be the camp process, this committee was supposed to be giving us a new business model. This is what its goal was. And then we would do the budget. But they went ahead and did the budget, didn't get a great business model. But the GM says he wants to keep it in place. And I think that's a good deal, because it's always good to hear what the GMs have to say. As far as naming facilities, that's a big thing right now. We're putting together a comprehensive plan. Don Ortega, our chair, wanted something more concrete, so he put me in charge of this, and we got it done. It's going to go through to the Common Ledge Committee and then to the full board. And it's going to deal with things, because we have a lot of people interested in naming things after other people, and the board now thinks that you should be dead before you're naming the name. And not only dead, but they want to do an investigation of each person. It was the whole, the chair is very concerned about the Cesar Chavez incident, and he doesn't want that to happen at Med. He wants everybody's background to be checked twice, and there will be no naming of the rotunda or the building at MWD. But this will be going through the committees, and it looks pretty good. We will have a naming committee, the last one under the old policy, at Weymouth. After it will be named after Ina Roth, the filtration system, who was a Beverly Hills director and who really pushed that. And her family will be there to accept this honor. I think it's September 21st. Did you know her?
No.
I didn't know her too well, but I heard about her. Then the Colorado River update, it's a mess. Right now it appears that it's headed for litigation. And yesterday, we voted to begin preparing for litigation, and we will be hiring an expert attorney, $3,000 an hour, to handle the lawsuits that we'll probably be involved in so we can get water from the Colorado. It's really a mess right now, but I think the president's going to step in and the Interior Secretary very soon. From the water cooler, as far as people who want to be chair, there's chatter. One's Nancy Sutley, one's Cynthia Kurtz, Michael Camacho, Marty Miller, and Dennis Erdman. Mr. Ortega will be leaving the board and hopefully will be joining me on a new committee at Aqua. I need his help there. Lastly, I'd like to adjourn today's meeting in memory of Mr. Jerry Reese. Did you know Jerry?
Mm-hmm.
Very wonderful man, chief operating officer at Met, who retired, who died this week. And then this morning at 5:20, I was alerted that Marshall Ramos' husband died. He'd been battling cancer. And she's one of my favorite people. And that's very sad. But I'd like to adjourn in memory of those two people.
Who are they again? Jerry Ruiz and this?
And Mr. Ramos, you can call him right now. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Director Fellow. Item 16, Water Quality Authority Report. Director Chavez?
So it's there in your packet, but let me just look at this. I marked up some of the highlights. Right. Here it is. So we passed a resolution regarding the Water Quality Authority to invest monies in the local agencies, that there's issues about whether to hire interest is happening, and what's going on with the board as far as raising the interest rates. We have a new chairman at the Federal Reserve Board,
and that also plays a part on our decision. So we're looking at it closely where we the resolution reflects today's times. That's it.
Thank you, Director Chavez. Water Master Report, item 17.
Kelly? Thank you, Madam President and board members. Appreciate you having me here today. Just for formalities, the key well as of June 5th was 262.2. That is roughly 17 feet higher than the same period last year, but a decrease of 2.2 feet from last month. That's very typical for this time of year. We expect the summer months to be warmer and to see the water level drop, especially when there's no recharge. Local deliveries are continuing very low flows. That is the water that the native flow that's sitting behind the Morris Dam. It's being delivered under the orders of the Protective Association, and it is being shared 50-50 with the lower area. In terms of the San Gabriel Canyon spreading ground, you all know that the quagga mussel has been found, different than the golden mussel. We are working with our partners to try to develop the mitigation plan to address both golden and quagga now. And Metropolitan, as well as Fish and Wildlife, did visit the site about a week ago, week and a half ago, and took some samples. So we're awaiting those results and determination of the path forward. Let's see. In terms of water quality, there were 77 wells sampled under Title 22 in May of 26. There were 43 sampled in April of 26. And there have been no notifications of any wells being shut down due to contamination. I would like to thank Tom for being the lead coordinator on this golden mussel response. The development of the plan really has been on his shoulders, and he's done a fair sum of the work in terms of coordinating the efforts with our consultants as well as the other partners. And from a Water Master perspective, knowing that we have BPOU and a host of other things, I appreciate that very much. And I want to thank Patty for your drive and diligence on getting this 1894 through as far as it has been. I feel completely confident that we will be successful, not to drive a piercing wedge through our relationships with the county, but to send the message that we do need reliable imported water for the long haul. So I thank you guys both. Thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you. 18, AB1234 compliance report, that is in your packet. And then item 19, director's comments. Director Trevino. Director Chavez.
The only comment is also the legislation that was passed there in Sacramento. It's amazing to get unanimous votes on bills, because you do have Republicans and Democrats there that are always fighting, and for them to be united on a bill that we support and the issues that we care about is like, wow, they're actually listening. Usually you get unanimous consent on bills like National Donut Day, which was Friday, by the way, and things like that, but something of substance. So congratulations to staff so far.
Awesome. Thank you, Director Chavez. Director Santana?
I have no comment.
Is that your bill?
Yeah. Donut Day.
I love donuts.
Director Fellow, and now you can make your comment.
Yeah, I wanted to. I don't usually talk about people who speak, but I wanted to talk about rodents tonight and AI. First of all, let's talk about the rodents. Rosemary is my friend, so I'll see her and talk to her. I've spent a lot of time with the farmers in the Central Valley in the past few years. And what they've done, they don't do chemicals. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you were with me on this trip. They have owls. And I looked up, there was all these very neat little hotels and sticks. And the owls, they don't use any poison anymore. So maybe you should train some owls. You know, that'll solve the problem. But I want to talk to you about AI. On June 26th at Brookside Country Club in Pasadena, there's going to be an all-day conference. It's going to deal totally with artificial intelligence, and there's going to be two or three panels, and it's going to be devoted to that. If you want to go, see me, give me your address, and I will make sure you...
Charles says.
Okay. But we'll make sure you go, because it's going to be very interesting, and it will take up most of the questions I think you might have. Okay? And I guess that's it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And then I do have some comments too. And I just wanted to thank the folks who came for coming. We don't really get a lot of people who come up, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to be here. If you don't know, I have been a teacher for 17 years. I taught environmental science, biology, so at this point to thousands of people in West Covina and Covina. So those folks are adults now and vote, and you know, for me it's important as their teacher to encourage them to have their voice heard, and so that was what was going through my mind to allow you to speak. If you're going to take the time to care about something that I have been encouraging folks to care about for a very long time, I'm happy to hear you. So I appreciate you coming. And then, I think it's. I just want everyone to hear. My passion is urban ecology. So I have a doctorate, but I also have a master's. I have two master's, but one of them is in biology. So ecology is not like what I do at work. It's not what I do here. It's like my life. Like it's what I spend my time at home doing. I'm sure my daughter could tell you, I mean, about every kind of, you know, animal we talk about. It's what we do at home. And so, I appreciate coming and bringing those ideas, because not a lot of folks are thinking about that. Same thing with AI. Like, I'm sure Tom can tell you how many times I've asked and bugged you about it. Yeah. So it is definitely on the forefront of my mind, and I have been encouraging our staff, because the thing that I think doesn't get out there, because again, I am not only a director and a teacher, I'm also like a scientist. Like, I like to understand these things. There isn't a lot of like data for us specifically here, so we're kind of we're new, right? We're in the collection stage, and so please rest assured, I am on Tom all the time about asking about and getting this data for AI and being, you know, ahead of the game for that. And so again, and I know she mentioned P22. I've been talking about P22 actually with my students, so I do. I think about these things a lot. No, owls is not a good idea. because I've taught so many things about cats and cane toads and all kinds of things that have gone all around the world. But anyway, I just want folks to know that that is my passion, and that's part of why I'm here. So again, I appreciate you coming. And I also appreciate my fellow directors. Thank you for being just so amazing and efficient and just going with the flow. Like, I appreciate just positivity and your willingness to make a motion fast. Man, I appreciate that so much. So we got a good team here, and I appreciate working with y'all. So that's it. And also, you got a lot of compliments today, Tom. So
it must be the time.
And then any future agenda items? Any closed session?
No closed session, but I'm present.
Awesome. Okay, and then we will adjourn in memory of Jerry Ruiz and Mr. Ramos.
And board officers, we have those ordinances and resolutions that we will ask you to sign.